Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now, here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water with my excellent friend, co-host, stepson, adopted son, whatever you want to call him, Chuck Ocelli. If you're not familiar with Chuck's work, get over to ocelli.com. There's a live link here. One of less than five people I recommend you listen to. Good morning, Chuck.
Well, you know, good morning, Maria. First of all, I want to say a couple of things, just personal notes real quick. Still hoping that Richie Allen recovers rather quickly. I know that's one of the people that you're still willing to endorse.
Right. And Richie's down with pneumonia.
He's been quite ill as of late and is still recovering. And also a big shout out to Patricia, who is a mutual supporter of both of ours. And a big thanks to her, as per usual, and she knows why. So, with that in mind, I really want to turn immediately to the cycle, the circle, the stream of outrage that is out there over racism, over, oh my goodness, people are making comments in public and people are doing a lot of things in public that are offensive to different groups. And it seems to me as though there's different rules in place for different people. Maria, what do you think?
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? I've used the hashtag end the GOP more often than ever before.
Well, and they certainly are worthy of examination, but let's begin on the other side of the equation for a moment, the alleged other side of the equation.
Right. The dinosaurs, the dinosaurs in the Democratic Party.
Yeah, well, let's not even necessarily the dinosaurs, but okay, you know what? We'll begin with the dinosaurs. Virginia. Need I say more? You have a very curious situation that now I caught a clip of a former CIA agent who is an interesting guy who shows up on Bill Maher all the time. And he said one of the most fascinating things about this and agreed with me, and therefore I got nervous because he said, you know, isn't it kind of so strategically interesting that all three of the top Democrats in the state of Virginia are all under siege by scandal simultaneously?
Right.
And this is my initial reaction. Now, that is not to say that there is probably not these skeletons in the two white guys' closets regarding their racism,
right,
or their ignorance, or both, okay? Not an issue there. And it's admittedly that that's the truth, but you have a Virginia governor who, you know, I don't know, in past years you would have thought would have resigned over the fact that he has now been shown to be somebody who is ignorant of these facts. He probably would have resigned in disgrace. Now, things have shifted, that's for sure. I remember a New Jersey governor having to resign over the fact that he was outed as gay and giving his lover a job in the administration. I remember that was enough to get rid of a governor in New Jersey. But your past indiscretions, usually, if they are this flagrant, this ridiculous, would get you dismissed. And you have an attorney general, the other white guy, who is, even though there's been no photographic proof, well, by the way, I also did blackface. Right. Now, there's that. And there's the concept of exactly how outrageous is this, how surprising is this, how shocking is this. I'm not shocked, surprised, or any of that. And I'm not sure who's actually outraged.
Right.
But moving on, you also have the Democratic lieutenant governor, who is now twice over accused of, let's just be blunt, being a rapist. And that's really what those accusations boil down to. It's not just casually a Me Too situation. It's not an abuse of power. He's being accused of being a rapist. Now, Is everybody entitled to due process? Certainly. But the level of outrage that is present there is interesting. It goes kind of in different directions, and there are different rules here regarding levels of outrage. Why do I say that? Okay, well, black people getting offended over the fact that they have been dehumanized, turned into cartoons. They, you know, literally the phrase Jim Crow comes from the original cartoon of a guy named Jim Crow, you know, who was a mockery of black people and all of that. This is all true. Not sure where to put the accusations against the lieutenant governor in the equation. I really am unsure about all of this because it does seem rather curious in its timing.
Right. Seems like
but
a setup.
Let's stick a pin in that because simultaneously we have the newest class of congresspeople coming in. And the only one wearing the Muslim garb, the name of the headdress I forget off the top of my head, but woman in Congress who wears the headdress,
right,
who is a Muslim, and we know who we're talking about, don't we?
Well, of course, Ilhan Omar.
So what does she say on Twitter that launched a whole interesting sort of moment of outrage, you know, those couple of moments of hate, I guess, that our friend Eric Blair, what is the name of that again? Oh, right, George Orwell and 1984 and all that. He showed us how that would work out on the view screens that now people carry around in their pockets instead of them being stationed on the wall. But during this moment of outrage, what happened on Twitter? Well, it's all about the Benjamins. This was the big statement, which, to my understanding, would mean it's all about the $100 bills, Benjamin Franklin being on the $100 bill, right?
Uh-huh.
But it could be also all about the Benjamins, and as in Benjamin Franklin on the $100 bill and Benjamin Netanyahu, I'm not sure.
Well, it's also supposedly from one of the rap songs tearing on Israel's control of the United States.
Well, what's funny is it's a common phrase, actually, and it's just one of those things that you say to indicate that it's all about money. And what is her particular outrage or attack on a particular group of people? Allegedly, it's because she was referencing AIPAC,
right?
Which is a political action, in case the listeners don't know, political action committee that is devoted to what? Maria, you want to fill it in?
Well, it's devoted to controlling Congress. It's devoted to running our country, to spying on us. It really is a foreign agent posing as a lobbying firm. You know, Cynthia McKinney outed all of that when she said you have to take an oath of loyalty to Israel when you get sworn into Congress.
That's correct. It's very fascinating, though, because let's look at this objectively. These political action committees, what do? They invest money, they make donations, they give money to, they use their influence to push a particular agenda. In this case, it happens to be the Israeli lobby. It happens to be the interests, allegedly, of Jewish people in general. And they're entitled to do this. And like you said, it is a foreign sort of agent that should be registered as such.
Right.
And should be known as such. But here's the thing. All she said is it's all about the money.
Right.
Meaning that a political action committee is actually doing what a political action committee does. So I am a bit confused because it seemed to me like she was forced to make an apology, which she made with absolutely no conditions on it.
Right.
Regarding allegedly being anti-Semitic. And I am still searching for where the actual anti-Semitic statement is. Is it because something that is related to Jewish people was brought up regarding a sort of common street phrase for something about money, and it was tied together, and therefore, this to me sounds a lot more like the analysts need to have outrage, the analysts' sensitivity, the analysts' racism, if you will, because they're the ones that put that together. Because in essence, the statement that I see looks like it's all about the money, and they do indeed spend money to do what? To influence the Congress, no matter who you are.
Right.
You can't deny these things.
Of course not.
Where is the infraction, Maria?
Listen, you look at, first of all, I think Nancy Pelosi was wrong to have her apologize. But then you got Kevin McCarthy, you know, pushing on the GOP side, who's also said a lot of anti-Semitic things. You got Donald Trump, who at his rallies and begging, you know, saying, you know, I won't ask the Jews for money, and making jokes when he's in front of a Jewish audience. You guys know what money's all about. So, I mean, you know, why is he good for one and not good for the other is the question. But if you're expecting, look, the Democrats fold just like they pushed Al Franken out. He didn't get an investigation. He didn't get anything. For what? A cheap grab? So, you know, this guy you're talking about in Virginia, the lieutenant governor, he's saying it was consensual sex. I think he's entitled to an investigation the same way the rapist and the racist and the GOP are, and they don't step down. You've got the number one rapist, racist, pedophile, moron as president of the United States. So to me, and I made that post a couple of days ago, Chuck, until Trump steps down, no one should.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I feel about it. If they're going to, you know, and Trump is ragging on what's going on in Virginia, well, at least that's keeping us out of the papers, he said. He's worse than them, and he's a lifelong racist and a lifelong career criminal. So if you're not going to put the same pressure on the man who's single-handedly destroying America, the worst example for our children and the country, then no one should step down. Not even an axe murderer. No one should step down.
Well, see, that's the new normal, isn't it? Because there is no, you can't just step down out of initial outrage. I mean, like you said, Al Franken did, which I find.
He should never have.
What's that?
He should never have stepped down.
No, not at all.
And you know what? That Kirsten Gillibrand or Gillibrand that forced him down, she wouldn't get my vote if she paid me for it.
Nope, definitely agree with you there. But you know, this raises some interesting questions about people's outrage and what it leads people to do and the influence of public figures and their statements, because I have a bigger question for you that nobody's asking anywhere, and it is as follows. What happened to the MAGA bomber?
To the MAGA bomber?
Do you remember
bomber?
That guy who sent the bombs to CNN?
I mean, hey, come on. Every news day, you know, got another 100 stories. Yeah, that's a good question. What happened to him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, taking notice that, you know, extremely important sort of reaction to not quite understanding what was happening in the world and thinking that they were out there to go after certain enemies that had been outlined by the hyperbolic rhetoric of jerks that are happen to be sitting in the White House currently and things like that. You know, it's funny because nobody wants to talk about it anymore.
Oh, of course. Well, last night at Trump's rally, a reporter from the BBC was attacked by one of his psychopaths who was screaming out, you know, fuck the media, fuck the media, and then he attacked a reporter from BBC. How is it that this shit goes on and Trump doesn't get charged with inciting violence?
Yeah, that's a very good question, huh?
You and I would be charged with it. We'd be, you know, we'd be considered domestic terrorists. How come this guy gets away with everything? And I want to back up because you said something interesting about the governor of Virginia, who, by the way, the people in Virginia want him to stay, okay? 58% of blacks in Virginia said they want him to stay, okay? I just thought I'd throw that little figure out. But when they say, oh, he was ignorant, you know, and he should be, you know, excused for that, well, they're using that excuse for Trump slamming Elizabeth Warren and teasing her about the Trail of Tears, saying, well, he's ignorant of history, so in other words, he should get a pass. So if it's not, you know, listen, yeah, I was raised a different, I guess, than most people today. It was like, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know?
See, that's the fun part of all this, is that I had this bizarre notion that there were standards that applied across the board. So no matter who you were, there were certain things you couldn't do. And like you said, you literally have somebody who, in any other circumstance, would be getting charged with inciting violence. There are various statutes in various states, in fact, that lead to someone being charged with a felony along with someone who commits a felony because you are promoting said act.
Right. Now, right.
It's not to say that I'm all for politically correct comms.
Yeah, but listen, if you hire a murderer and you didn't do the murder yourself, you're still guilty of hiring the murderer. You're still guilty of murder. And in any court of law for you and me, not for the elite, the rich whites, you know, the law is very clear. Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Right. This is correct. But the other thing is,
unless you're president.
As much as you are allowed your free speech, because that's another thing, you know, well, it's free speech and it may be distasteful. And yeah, I understand all that. But the problem here is that free speech does not extend to promotion of criminal activity.
Right.
And if you make public statements, see, here's the thing that I have always been astounded by with people that wonder why it is they get banned from certain platforms. You know, not you. You get banned because...
Yes, I'm dangerous.
You're dangerous. And you are. They're right. But for the wrong reasons.
Right. I don't know how dangerous I could be, but hey.
But the funny thing is that people make directly dangerous statements that are irresponsible when they have a public platform and then wonder why. You know, when you have an audience who is listening carefully to what you're saying and you start saying that there should be violent action taken and then violent action occurs.
Right.
Well, you know, again, amazing to me that somebody wasn't prosecuted when that guy went in and shot up the pizza place.
Right.
You know, and these other guys who have gone, you know, again, with the MAGA bomber. What happened to that guy?
Right.
Yeah, his bombs didn't work because he just wasn't quite bright enough to pull it off. But still, the intent was there. And last I checked, attempted murder, even if you don't succeed, it's still a crime.
Well, the Pittsburgh church shooter today is pleading not guilty to his charges. I mean, this is the world we live in now. You know what I'm saying? But let's get back to Virginia for another minute, okay? Because
sure.
I'm still, as soon as I saw it and they're trying to take down the three top Democrats there, I knew it stunk to high heaven. I'm not saying that the guy didn't wear blackface, this and that. Even a Republican willingly admitted right after that, because he probably wants to admit it before they find out. But the truth of the matter is, you know, there are cases against Trump from the Commonwealth of Virginia. And if there's Democrats in place, you know he's going to lose. And people need to pay attention to that. And like I've been warning for 3 years, all these crazy criminal judges that he's put into office throughout the country, most of them unfit, unqualified to be judges, they're all going to be voting for Trump on any of his lawsuits. So, you know, to me, it was like, wow, I guess it just stunk to high heaven. There was nothing normal about it.
No, see, that's the thing about it, is that indeed I believe, and quite honestly, I actually think, because you know how the controversy about the governor is,
right?
Well, it's clearly not him in the blackface in the photograph. I would say, though, that nobody could definitively say that's not him in the Klan outfit.
Right.
Which could be part of the, you know, secret which is being avoided here. And if that is the case, yeah, there's an issue.
Well, either way, they're both racist symbols. And listen, America is a racist country. It was founded on racism. We've got a president who wants to build his racist wall. He's unleashed and okayed, he's approved, given the seal of approval to open racism. So this should be nothing new to Americans that racism is, well, we were founded that way. And Trump is still ragging on Native Americans. You know, he just doesn't let up on anybody. And people that know his history know even when he built his buildings in New York. You know, if somebody took an application for a tenant, they were instructed to put a large letter C on the application for colored, and they would be denied. So, you know, New Yorkers always knew what a scumbag Trump is. It's just too bad the rest of the country didn't.
Well, it's funny that the rest of the country didn't, because you know what I saw on Twitter recently? You probably saw me retweet this, is a video of Trump testifying regarding what they used to call the Indian casinos, which are, you know, listen, on reservation land, tribes were right. Given the ability to have gaming. We know about this. This is one of those things that has been controversial. He's sitting there arguing with representatives that he's angry that, you know, these people who don't really look like Indians to me are being given tax breaks. You know, I pay right. taxes, he says, during that.
Yeah, let's see those tax returns. Let's see the proof of him paying taxes. Listen, he's probably jealous. Look, you know I live in Arizona, so pretty much all the casinos here are owned by Native Americans. It's on tribal land. Right. And to me, when I look at that, it's just a pittance that the white man gave them back something that they could make a little bit of money at. And then you look at Trump, the only person in the history of the world who failed at a casino.
you stole my point.
Sorry about that, Chuck.
That's all right. You know what? But that's where I was going with this, is that, but if you watch him during that testimony, where he is just continuously hacking at it. Why are you giving approval to these people? They don't look like Indians. Right. They don't look like Indians. I don't think they look like Indians. And the guy says, well, thank God that, you know, nobody has to go through your look test
right.
to be, you know, declared something or other.
Well, but he likes to pick on other people's looks. You know, that's what he does. Somewhere along the line, somebody must have told him he was good looking. I mean, I'm sure you saw him ragging on Amy Klobuchar standing out in the blizzard doing her announcement for president. Now, I have to tell you, I don't know much about her, but I there's so many contenders. I figure once they settle in, I'll figure out who's who. But he made fun of her because, you know, she was covered in snow by the time she was done, which I thought was great. It was great optics because she made Trump look like the asshole he is because he wouldn't even go to that VA thing because it was raining. And he called her, you know, she looked like a snowman or a snow woman. And she had a good retort. She said, how would your hair fare during a blizzard? So, you know, what I like is that women are no longer sitting back and shutting up and being pushed in the corner like they have been for centuries. And they're all brave enough to retort to the moron in chief and all these men attacking them. I mean, I've never seen anybody attacked more than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And man, she slaps them down like she was my own daughter.
Now, I got to say, it is really fascinating to see this going on. The only problem I have here, though, is there's a bit of a deception built into this. And all right, let's get down to brass tacks. The Democrats you see still are not going to push back against the expansion of empire.
Of course
they are not going to significantly push back against things like what's going on in Venezuela. They're not going to offer opposition to a lot of what the military-industrial complex needs to achieve. They're still going to give, you know, whatever billions of dollars to border stuff, which is not even apparently necessary.
Right.
They're still going to, I mean, they're still, it's still one side.
Listen,
you know?
You're not getting an argument out of me. It's still the one-party system. I mean, look. Yeah. I don't like this guy. I don't like anything about him, his energy, his body language, nothing. And I'm talking about the ex-CEO of Starbucks. Mm. But you see the way they demonized him immediately. You're going to be a spoiler. Third-party candidates are going to assure that Trump gets back in. You know, this has been the problem since Ross Perot. Ralph Nader, you know, Bernie Sanders. If we don't allow third, fourth, fifth, up to 100 different parties, we're going to get stuck with the one party for the rich.
Right.
And yeah, all wars are bankers' wars. I'm not seeing the Democrats arguing about Venezuela. You know, we've got Mr. Boeing, who's, you know, going to travel overseas as our foreign affairs emissary, you know, representing the Pentagon. Mr. Boeing is the acting chief of the Pentagon. And where are the Democrats on that? The only thing that I can tell you, Chuck, that I get excited about are the new Democrats fighting the old Democrats, because they need to be flushed out. And so far, a lot of these women have made valid, truthful points, and they've all been harassed for it and asked to apologize for it. So hopefully they won't sell out or buy in.
Well, see, that's why it's kind of unfortunate that the right-wing's favorite target, Nancy Pelosi, is at the head of the Democratic Party at the moment.
Right.
Because, in all honesty, she is going to limit opposition. And I appreciate some of the points she scored by, you know, directly standing up to this guy. Right. Who is right now, as we speak, making a statement, by the way, about how, you know, he's not getting his border wall and whatever else, and God knows what's going to come out of that.
Well, he complains about not getting the wall, but he had the option of being at the meeting to settle this wall issue or his rally, and he chose the rally.
Well, you know, between that and executive time, I mean, what do you expect a guy to have? I mean,
listen, he belongs in a nursing home. And in a padded cell. And you know, and once again, you know, his doctor said he's in perfect health. He's going to live well beyond the presidency. What's this guy got, a crystal ball?
Well, I want to know how that's even possible.
Yeah, I want to see the results. Where's the results of his blood work? Where's the results of all his tests? You know, let alone a mental test, which nobody seems to give this guy.
Well, they did give him that.
Those little coloring things for third graders that he passed. Oh, this
yeah,
is a
goat. I have to laugh because of the coloring book they gave him last time.
Right. I mean, come on, the guy's adult, and they use the fact that he's ignorant as an excuse for his rude, crude, lascivious behavior. But, you know, listen, I have so many stories for my next new show already, and it's still 2 days away. I think I'm going to have to add a third new show to the weekly roster. Just to cover all the bullshit going on. But, you know, even last night, you know, everything with Trump is size. Well, you know what they say, little hands, little dick. So everything with him is size. From his inauguration last night, he said Beto O'Rourke had 200 or 300 people in his crowd. Well, the fire department already contradicted Trump. Trump said he had 35,000 people in his stadium, which, by the way, only holds 6,500. So that's another miracle of math. But Beto O'Rourke's crowd was clocked at 10 to 15,000.
Right. Now, to be fair, I read that it was it could hold 8,000 people, the venue that he had.
Well,
but how
said
he gets 35,000 in
was,
there, I don't know.
Right. They said it was one-third empty. So he probably didn't even have the 6,500. But you know what? I watched the video this morning of the attack of the BBC reporter by one of his rabid dogs. And the way those people were whipped up into such a frenzy, I haven't seen anything like that since the Pentecostal church my grandmother went to.
See, but that's the thing about these rallies, these get-togethers, when you see a group of, you know, I remember the days when Trump was absolutely convicting the Central Park kids,
right?
Regardless of the fact that they were exonerated years later with DNA and all that, but based on the news reports that he had somehow, I doubt if he read them, but what he had heard, I guess, he was willing to convict them because, you know, these groups of individuals, they get together for wilding.
Right.
Remember that phrase?
Right.
Wilding.
Right.
Which, all right, you know what, was actually born out of a street-level phrase again, and I get it. But what is it that you call a group of these red hats getting together? And I've seen it in smaller cliques.
Right.
Okay? And I'm in the midst, you know, again, I point out that I am behind enemy lines where I am. Literally. And there are people still with their Trump-Pence signs proudly displayed in front of their houses, okay? I am in red hat territory. And let me tell you, every time I see a group of these guys together,
right,
who recognize each other, there is already an uneasy feeling I get, and I'm not even their target.
Right, actually. Right, exactly. Because they're lunatics. They're out of control. You know, but listen, well, you have to understand psychology and the piece of a person's brain that's missing that makes them go into cults and different types of, you know, religions. A lot of there's a lot of articles out there. So, I mean, he is the perfect cult leader. And these people are so attached to him. And since he's legitimized all their hatred and craziness, you know, he needs to be around the few people in America that still rah-rah, sis, boom, bah him. You know, look at how he is. Listen, if I was living in El Paso, do you know how pissed off I would be at the lies he's saying about my town? Imagine being the person running the tourism chamber of El Paso, listening to what he's been saying about El Paso. They actually had to pass a resolution against Trump's lies in El Paso. But, you know, that's just more of his ignorance, and yet his dumbass followers... they showed up at the border in El Paso to make a human chain, you know, and I'm like, God, where are the snipers when you really need them? But, and let's get back to the Jewish issue too. Okay. Take a break before we do that. Cause we're already in a half hour. Stay with us. Truck and I'll be right back. Hi, this is Maria. I don't often get to talk directly to the listeners here on the Gary Noll Network, but I felt like doing that today. I know a lot of you really enjoy my show, but you might not know that I do 4 shows a week over at my website, maria.net. So if you're loving the show you get to hear on Sunday, come on over to my site and subscribe, because I've got hundreds of hours of great shows on pretty much every topic in the universe. And that again is maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. And now we can get back to this excellent show. Thanks. Hi, Maria here, and I have a message due to the pressure of the times we're living in. I'm calling on all students and millennials to get the education they need to fight the fascism taking over our world. I've made a special subscription offer for students and for seniors on a limited budget. For just $9.99 a month, you can subscribe and get that education. Over 500 hours of real education that's necessary to understand the world, the problems, and the solutions. Remember, knowledge is power. Together, you can change the world, but to do so, you must be informed of what's really going on and have real facts to support you in your endeavors. It's time for all the grandmothers to take a stand and teach the younger generation what their life could be and how to get there. Help me help you. One person cannot do it alone, and the guidance you seek is right here at www.maria.net, M-E-R-I-A.net. Your generation is the generation we've been waiting for, so let me help you. Thanks for listening. Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water. I know we're all over the place today, but hey, there's nothing normal going on in this world for like 3 years now, so we have to do the best we can do to try to squeeze in as much. You know, when you talked earlier about Jews and you know, the slamming of Jews and money, it's all about the Benjamins, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I grew up in New York, okay, and I grew up in a neighborhood that was half Jewish and half black, okay? We were one of the rare Italians in the neighborhood. And, of course, I had a lot of friends of both kinds, Jews and blacks. And we all kidded each other. We told Italian jokes about Italians, Jewish jokes about Jews. You know, I mean, that was the way it was in the day, okay? And nobody got offended. So let's fast forward when we come to... And one thing I learned in New York, which I stick to religiously... If you want financial advice, you go to a Jew. And if you want the best doctors, make sure he's Jewish. Okay? That was just a fact, you know. It wasn't like, oh, if you want good bagels, you can only get them from Jews, okay? It was just understood. They were better with money. They always have been. They have a mind for it. And they were just better at being doctors. And, you know, it's hard-pressed to even find Jewish doctors in America anymore. And a lawyer, you know, you weren't going to go get an Italian lawyer. I mean, it was just things you knew, you know. They, of course, it was the other way around, too. And I remember during the campaign with several of my co-hosts, you know, they were all, you know, who do you like for president? First of all, I didn't like either one. I didn't like Trump, and I certainly didn't like Hillary. And I said, Bernie's the best bet. And they would ask me why, and I'd say, if you got an economy that's in trouble, who knows better how to fix it about money than a Jew? I didn't say it as a nasty comment. I said it as a fact. Okay, to me, that's part of my reality. And I said he posted his tax returns. The guy had like a total net worth of what, $350,000. He was more representative of Americans. And you know, if you want to talk peace, this, that, I mean, he had the right platform. But that didn't matter because everybody still saw him as the spoiler vote, you know, the third party vote. They're still bitching. I'm sure you see on Hate Book how many nasty posts about Bernie Sanders running for president again. He'll be a spoiler alert. He's a communist. Russia supports him. I mean, Facebook is nothing but crap. Okay. If people look at anything there and actually believe it, I'm stunned.
See, a valid point about Bernie Sanders at this point, though, just like Joe Biden, is how old are these guys?
Well, how old is Trump? And Trump is senile old. He's not just old. Okay.
But that's what I'm saying, is that, look, their health is not going to improve. None of these guys. You need somebody who's going to actually work.
I agree. I've said I don't really want to see anybody over 50 as president. You can't handle the job, not physically or any other way. I mean, you look at Obama now after 8 years, and he's only in his early 50s. I mean, he looks like an old man, and that was 8 years, okay?
Right.
Trump, you know, who's got natural orange skin tone because of good genes, even though there's a million articles out there that he does his own makeup, maybe he should hire somebody, you know, I agree that at a certain age, I mean, had they put Bernie in, he wasn't really that far off from Hillary or Trump age-wise. But the truth of the matter is you have more millennials, young people in this country now. They're the majority, and they have no representation. You know, what did people love about Jack Kennedy? They loved him because he was young, and he had young ideas. He could relate.
Right. No, absolutely true. What is fascinating to consider, which a listener of mine pointed out to me, is that in 2024, Ocasio-Cortez will be eligible age-wise to run for president.
Right. Well, right now, Joe Kennedy III, he's 36. He's over 36 years old. Why aren't they putting him out? Why aren't they rolling out a Kennedy? You saw that Trump already ragged on Julian Castro. How does he expect to get elected with the last name Castro? Do you know what I mean? Well, how about we throw a Kennedy out there? I mean, I saw a disturbing report this morning that they're actually considering Don Trump Jr. to run for president.
Yeah, well, look, you know, I've said it jokingly before, but literally, quite directly, I will leave this country. if that happens, I cannot. I mean, it is bad enough that this guy is being somewhat shackled at this point. Somebody's trying to keep a straitjacket on him, figuratively speaking, as he's in the one. But that guy, his son, the bad copy of him, the one that is even more entitled than he is in his own mind.
Well, all his children are just like him, you know. And listen, my father always said the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And if the tree is poisoned, the apple's poisoned.
Yeah, and unfortunately what happens is if that apple sits there, it tends to poison the ground. You know, at some point you gotta dispose of things like
Listen,
this.
I have to tell you, I told my children, who you know I love deeply, that if there's any chance in hell that Trump gets reelected in 2020, I have to leave the country. Okay. I don't want, because it's no big surprise to anybody, I'm pushing 70 years old. I don't want to die of old age under Trump. I just don't. I can't. I just won't do it. And I thought my kids would balk, but as soon as they are all, where would you go? I said, I think I'll move to Mexico. I considered that years ago. Right away, my daughter tried to cut herself in on sharing a condo with me. I said, who invited you? But I don't think I can take it. Look how many old people are dying, and in their obituaries, they're saying how relieved they are that they don't have to deal with Trump anymore. I mean, at the end of your life, this is not the way it should be in your 70s and 80s. And I hear this at the gym from people way older than me. I'm glad I'll be dead soon. That's not the way you should be ending your life in the United States or anywhere.
Well, I'm only in my 40s, and I actually have had the thought to myself that I am glad that there are not more days ahead of me than there are behind me, because of this, to be honest with you.
Right. I'm like, what did I do? What did I do coming to this planet? Why did I volunteer to do this? What the hell was wrong with me? What penance am I paying?
Yeah, I mean, there must have been some heavy, heavy guilt before I got here to say, I want to be here during this time.
Right. But you know what? I know we both probably have a little bit of the devil in us. And who in the hell would want to miss the grand finale of the human race? Who would want to miss seeing whether humans would actually survive or not? I mean, when you understand that your soul is eternal and you're just here for a short time taking a trip to the past, who would want to miss it if you've got a little spirit of adventure in you?
Yeah, but see, the anticlimactic, climactic sort of whimpering, wheezing, whining, greedy grabbing, and identity politics, and this is a petty way. If I wanted to be the witness to the destruction, I'd rather be here during a cataclysmic thing.
Well, we
You know,
just
where,
might
where,
be.
where is the grand meteor of death to land on the planet? Something like this. That's a
Hey,
show.
listen. Don't discount the possibility of that. Okay? I see several different timelines. I pay attention to what's going on in outer space. A lot of weird shit going on in outer space this year, more than before.
Yes,
Comets slamming into each other, things slamming into the moon, slamming into the Earth. That's one thing. You see the earth changes happening. I don't call it climate change. It's a natural evolvement of the earth. Happens probably every couple of million years. We just happen to be alive for this one. Then you've got also the real and present nuclear danger where we could just blow each other to pieces. So, you might get that you might get that special effects ending. Because it is very realistic, okay? And a lot of people lately are asking me that, and I only can posit to them, several of the different scenarios that I have seen that could happen here.
Well, I know this sounds like a strange turn in the conversation, but realistically, if that is what is on its way, you can't say that the table is not being set.
Of
Considering
course.
the fact that we now have, I mean, you saw this thing with the nuclear weapons, right? Where they've now outfitted these much larger weapons with lower yield warheads, and so we have options.
Right.
That to me just was really chilling.
Look, we
The
have a
weapons.
maniac in control who has the nuclear codes. It's the less staffed White House ever. He's got more empty positions in this administration than ever before. He's got no one running checks and balances on him now. The only people he'll listen to is Ivanka and Jared. Okay, and Jared, let's face it, he's in bed with, he's a Zionist. He's in bed with all of them, especially Mohammed bin Salman face, as I like to call him. So it's an anything can happen thing. It's a miracle that nothing serious has happened since this moron's taken office. We are a rudderless ship, make no mistake about it. And that's very scary. And I'm not saying that our presidents before were any kind of heroes. All I'm saying is we're up Schitt's Creek without a paddle right now.
See, therein lies the bright side to the equation, right? that they really did limit the true effect that the chief executive had over the years, because if really Trump had a whole lot of power to wield, the disaster would be much greater.
Yeah, but they also know if he gets to declare, we'll know Friday, if he gets to declare an emergency over this border wall, that's going to backfire, because that means any president can declare an emergency for anything they want after that. But, you know, rah-rah, sis, boom, bah, you know, Sean Hannity is saying, don't give in, got to have the wall.
Yeah, well, because that is the priority, which is the other, really, the last thing here. And it ties to the whole discussion that we've had, right? The circles of outrage, the cycles, the news cycles of outrage, the stuff that disappears down the memory hole, the arguments people are wasting a whole lot of time with.
It's all distraction.
Exactly how racist is racist? Exactly how ugly is it to mention genocide? And which genocide is more important than the other genocide? All of this measuring contest.
Right.
Nobody knows how to prioritize getting actually. Because here's the other huge question. I asked, where is the MAGA bomber? I got another question for you. What's actually getting done, Maria?
Nothing, as far as I could see. Zip. And it's all distraction. The only thing getting done is the same kind of sneaky shit that we saw with George Bush, that we saw with Obama, where they're passing more laws, more surveillance, more less freedom on Americans, while everybody's talking about, you know, who wore blackface and who said this about Israel and who said this about Muslims, okay? Meanwhile, the Supreme Court, with his Nazis on it, are one step away from reversing law that's been in place since 1973. So, you know, it's all distraction. And the other thing, here's a question for you, Chuck, okay?
See, that was a shock, though. Really quickly, Maria, that was a huge shock that we didn't see that Louisiana case, that actually you had one justice who flipped sides there and didn't allow that case to go. And they were going to close, what, there's three clinics left in Louisiana?
Right.
They were going to close two of them.
There would only be one left, okay?
Right.
And Trump, again, because he's the most ignorant bastard on the face of the earth, once again said, because men don't understand what, they shouldn't even call it late term abortion, but he actually said, I believe it was yesterday, because I saw it flash across my screen, but as you know, I got one eye out this week, so I didn't read it all, the whole thing yet, but he actually said they wait until the baby comes out of the mother, talking to its mother, and then kill the baby. I mean, if you had a baby that fell out of you talking, you're a multi-billionaire, okay? You're going to make it on every talk show there is imaginable, all right? But
yeah,
there are states...
on the Inquirer cover, okay?
Right,
yeah.
Well, the Inquirer, there's a whole nother story. I have to tell you, I've suffered so much the past 3 years covering the campaign and covering the lunacy of the Republican Party the past 2 years, that I truly am beginning to enjoy all the investigations, all the stories. And then when I saw him thinking that he could take on Jeff, as Trump calls him, Bozo, I said, oh God, I hope he buries him. So this is going to be a story to follow, including, you know, the Saudi involvement with the National Enquirer, which a lot of people are still not aware of. I have to tell you, you know, what has he got now? 17 major investigations against him. And then finally they're pushing for his tax returns. And suddenly, what's Trump's answer to that? He says, nobody pushed Obama for his tax returns. Well, yeah, because Obama posted them. I mean, he's so jealous of a black man. You know, how can you be a racist and be so jealous and hateful of a black man? It just doesn't make sense. How, if you're a white supremacist, why does it bother you so much, whatever this guy did?
But isn't that always the case, though, Maria?
Well, I think people always talk about what they fear the most. And, you know, Trump is such an insecure person and such a mental case. I don't understand how people don't see it. You know, during the break, you and I briefly mentioned the State of the Union. I'm like, when I saw that bullshit about his doctor, who's under investigation still, you know, Dr. Feelgood, Happy Pills, or Dr. Candyman, as they call him.
Right.
I was like, how could anybody say this guy's in perfect health? He can't even breathe. Now, I don't know whether it's because he's snorting too much Adderall, because obviously it doesn't work because he still can't read. But if you could look at him and tell me he's that healthy that he's going to live, like, you know, for 200 years, I would say, wow, whatever drug you're on, spare me some.
Yeah, really, I want to eat from the same KFC, and I want to get the same whatever it is he's taking.
Right.
Because...
Right. How many children probably are saying to their parents, you know, the president of the United States eats burgers and fries every night and drinks 6 gallons of Coke. Why do I have to eat my vegetables? The president, you know, calls people names. Why can't I do the same? I mean, even, you know, he doesn't even try to fake it. At least in the past, we've had presidents that try to fake it. You know, there could have been some sort of moral authority. But when you look at the immorality of the Republican Party, and I'm not excusing the Democrats, you know, they're just as immoral, but maybe a little less. How dare they dictate morals and laws for the rest of us?
It is a conundrum, if you will, and I cannot solve it. How is it that people who have no moral compass want to teach us ethics? How is it that people that attack others want to tell us to be peaceful? How is it that people that promote war say that they are there to keep people safe?
Or say they're pro-life. Or say they're pro-life. Trump is not a pro-life president. He's got no problem killing millions of people. He had no problem stealing those children away from their parents. Now he doesn't want to return them, and they're trying to off them off, you know, get them adopted through a fanatical Catholic adoption service that Betsy DeVos is involved with. How is that not child slavery? How is that not kidnapping? How is that not sex predators? Do you know what I mean?
Well, good thing you mentioned Betsy DeVos, because all of this is brought to you by the Mercer family and their friends at Cambridge Analytica.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, so I had a question for you, Chuck.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you, if you got that $4,000 check that Donald Trump said we were all going to get as a result of his tax breaks.
You know, I gotta say, Maria, I did not see that in my mailbox. Did you get yours?
Nope, and I don't intend to.
Oh, okay.
What's interesting is that now, including his supporters, everybody's up in arms as they're filing their income tax because they're all paying more income tax. People that used to get refunds now owe. And the average I'm reading is about $2,200 a year.
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating because... they also keep saying they doubled the child tax credit. Now, I don't file for one of those. I do know somebody who does.
Right.
But and I have a child, by the way. But anyway, you know, I have a child who's of the right age to file for that. But anyhow, another story. Here's the thing. The people that are filing for these where they said, oh, we doubled the tax credit. Are reporting to me that, the tax credit was not doubled.
No, it wasn't. It's
so
average,
you
know. Average of 8% more for, you know, most Americans. But I covered this story on my yesterday's show. God, yesterday's show seems so far away. And that the tax changes, first of all, were not debated on. They weren't voted on. They weren't made public before they instituted them. And all the exemptions that were taken away in blue states only.
Mm.
Okay, how is that legal?
It's a funny thing. Apparently, Governor Cuomo is trying to meet with Trump today to tell him exactly what you just said.
Right.
You know, blue states are being punished, Mr. President. This is not really the way to go.
Yeah, but he did it deliberately. How could it not be deliberate any more than this witch hunt going on in Virginia? Now, there's a witch hunt. How is that not deliberate? How do people not see that?
Well, remarkable that somebody would hold opposition research, because if it's 1984 and in the age we're in, you can't tell me that somebody didn't have that in their back pocket, this yearbook picture. You can't tell me that the Attorney General was not being pressured by somebody who said, I might have a picture of you doing the same thing, for him to come out and admit it. Mm. And curiously, the only other guy that everybody immediately was saying, well, just make this guy governor, it'll be great, it'll be ironic, because he is an African-American, and this is an African-American issue that would be making the governor step down. It's rather curious that, just coincidentally, two accusations come up, from years ago.
Right.
And I'm not even saying that those accusations are wrong. I'm not saying that the two guys who were in blackface were correct or being blackballed, excuse the expression, for no reason. What I'm saying is the timing of this is rather curious.
Well, remember, it didn't matter what Brett Kavanaugh did in his past. He still got on the Supreme Court. So again, until Trump and Kavanaugh step down, no one should.
Well, you know, an investigation would have been nice. So maybe they'll actually do one here, Maria. What do you think?
I doubt it, but we'll see. All I know is it's like there's not enough popcorn in the world to watch this circus play out.
And we didn't even mention Roger Stone.
Well, we'll have to save that for next month. Anyway, Chuck, we're out of time. I want to thank you so much. I see you got a good roster of shows coming up at Ocelli.com. So if you actually have a few shekels and you want to do something and you're not able to do what Chuck and I do, support what we do. It's that simple. You know, your money helps. We got the same bills you do, and we're going through the same crap you're going through. Well, you know, we're not getting TV salaries. That I can guarantee you.
Nowhere near.
All right.
Thank you.
My pleasure, Chuck. You take good care.
You too.
Bye. Chuck Ocelli, one of a kind, maybe. But I have high hopes for Chuck. I certainly do. I think one day he will be the Maria Heller Show, one form or the other. Anyway, thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for supporting the show. That's always important. I can't even tell you when Valentine's Day is, but I think we're getting close to it. So this Valentine's Day, why don't you fall in love with yourself? Do something nice for yourself. And I'll see you guys next time.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.